Hey, sweetie.
I'll pull it to you.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a soft sport.
I'm going to be a man, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This man just gave me a job. I'm not signing that shit.
There's a lot I got to say, but I ain't going to do it here because it's free today. I ain't going to curse.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. I'm joined by Andrew Kenyon. Say hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
And my name is Joseph Kaur from Stats Before Media and a few other outlets. We were thinking about taglines for this show, Andrew and I. We threw out a few things and we had the fan man in the street, that's Andrew, and then the sports media minnow, that's me. And that's kind of the style of the show if you're new to it. We're coming out of round two. We're going to look at all the games, talk about the press conferences and a few pretty funny moments from there. But before we jump into anything, a reminder, if you like the show and want to become a patron, the link is in the description. Also, Marvelous, the book by Boddy Nodge. I've got 8 copies left. Just sold 2 recently. Once they're gone, they're gone. The link for that is also in the description. That's a great book about the handbook of the league. You've got a copy, don't you, Andrew?
I do have a copy. I haven't started reading it yet. It's in the queue, so to speak. So I've got to finish the book that I'm reading at the moment, but really looking forward to it. Your podcast with Boddy recently whet my appetite. So I'm really looking forward to reading it.
Well, hopefully the better mention of it. I mean, Boddy wrote about the NBL for 43 years or 40 plus years at the minimum, and he said that's the thing he's most proud of. So if you like Boddy's writing, or if you like the NBL, if you like basketball in this country, really quite an important book to have. But let's put that to one side. We're talking before we do that as well, Twitch. We commented the game just gone, Cairns and Melbourne, on our Twitch stream. That's NBLPP.
Yep.
At Twitch, and that was a lot of fun.
I love it. It's a new thing that we've been doing. We're 3 games into it now, and I think we've shown improvement in each game.
We had sound bites and sound effects this time, which is fun.
Yeah, it's good fun. So if you're looking for a straight up vanilla commentary, you know, so-and-so passes the ball to so-and-so, this is probably not the one for you. If you're looking for a bit of, we still commentate it, we take it seriously, but we also have a bit of talk around the game. We give our insights, we give our thoughts, and we have a bit of fun as well.
And I think, we look at the stats, but also we check in with NBL Twitter, see what funny things people are saying or, you know, people are putting up there, which is always interesting at game time. So that's a fun little thing. But yeah, it's more conversational.
And we've got a live chat. Yes, there's a live chat going on. So if you start watching, you know, you can chime in and tell us what you think and we'll talk to you at the same time. So yeah, it's a nice change up from the regular programming, especially on the games that we tend to focus on, which are not the primetime games of the round. We give them sort of let the professionals do those. But the ones that are maybe your second tier games and you're like, you're into it, but you're not loving it, we're here to make it more entertaining for you.
And also in that chat stream, because we go into the press conferences afterwards, if you have a question you want to ask a player or a coach who may or may not be appearing in that press conference, drop it down and we'll curate it and get it in there as best we can. We really will. So that's a pretty cool feature.
We're here for the people. And if you are a Patreon subscriber, you know, we've been doing a few write-ups of what we've thought and what we've discovered in the press conferences as well.
For sure. That's about everything, all the housekeeping. You want to jump into these games, Andrew?
Yeah, let's do it.
First game, we're going way back, and we were just laughing about this before because this feels like ages ago, the first game of the round, Adelaide, Southeast Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne winning at 83-89. Just going into this Twitch stream, because we commentated this one, didn't we? I can't remember. did we? Or the one after it?
Yeah, we no.
We did. No, we did. We did.
We did. Yeah, this is the one we did.
We said, yeah, it is, because we said we were tracking Sloan. We were going to look at what DJ conceded on defense. I actually got distracted having fun. I forgot to do that. And then Cam Glidden we were looking at. And just, to, I think, yeah. What do you remember of this game?
Oh, geez. Well, before I go into what I remember, I feel like a man who's been walking in the desert for months with nothing to drink, and then he appears out of the desert and somebody sprays him with a high-powered fire hose. It's like
Karcher. Yeah,
power cord. I had no NBL basketball for months, and then it's like game. It's a blitzkrieg. But yes, Adelaide.
Lightning war for the uninitiated. Sorry.
Adelaide 83, Southeast Melbourne 89. In this one, this is the game that Sykes really came out to show what he was made of. I think we've probably all seen the highlight of that dunk.
If I can intersect quickly on the dunk, Kiefer Sykes on his Twitter account, he quotes a Bible verse, Matthew 28:18-20. And I'm just going to quickly read it for you to get a sense of his game. It reads, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Well, Isaac Humphreys got baptized, okay? He got holy moly dunk water right in the face. And welcome to the flock. Flock you, Isaac Humphreys, you're in.
It was a tremendous dunk. Off, just off 2 feet, straight up, one hand, a little bit of hang on the ring afterwards.
A little bit of a yell on the rim. Yeah,
yep. Nice. Amazing stuff. But yeah, for the game, I mean, Southeast Melbourne took away the chocolates. But for Adelaide, geez. I mean, the Humphreys-DJ combo, I thought that was working pretty well. Mm. But Sloan, again, missing in this game.
Well, we were tracking him. He played 31 minutes, 10 points, 43%, 2 turnovers. He turned it around later in the round, but we'll talk about that. But yep. We're going to talk about this guy as well later on in the round. But Cam Glidden in this one, 27 minutes, only 3 points, 17%.
He's taking up a lot of minutes for very little production. He did improve in the Perth game, although with caveats. But look, it was to the point where that was the question we sort of asked in the press conference of Simon Mitchell. You know, yeah. Is he satisfied with the production he's getting from his wings?
Did you feel, sorry to interrupt, but you feel like when you asked that question, when you go, oh, Andrew Canyon, Pocket Podcast, and then you go, my question's about the wings. And then as you were asking, you're like, oh, are you worried about their lack of production? And then as you're kind of finishing off the sentence, they're already shaking their head. I think those two, before they come out, Simon Mitchell and Sykes, had said, listen, if they ask about the wings, just united front, strong line of, nope, good shots were taken. They just need, you know, whatever was their answer. I forget now.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to hold the fort. You got to stand the line. I get that word. That's fine. I would be probably more worried if you said, yeah, they're terrible and I don't know what we're going to do. We're looking for out clauses in the contracts, you know, like that would be more worrying. So fair play to him. But I think, look, they have to be worried because
if
they'd shot at even 30%, you know, like, well, they won the game, so okay, but they could have trounced it, you know.
For sure.
So, yeah. Yep.
We talked about DJ and Isaac Humphreys in this one. Fast break points, 3-14 in favor of Southeast Melbourne, the victors. There's still that question of can those two guard defensively, Humphreys and DJ. They obviously did a bit better the other night after, but we'll leave on that. I don't really have much else to say about this game. It was that long ago.
It was, yeah. Let's move on. That's in the books.
In the books. Brisbane and the Hawks, 82-90. Hawks getting up in this one. Have you got any notes?
Yeah, I've got, Illawarra, no joke. They're becoming one of my favorite teams to watch.
They're intense.
I think I've got a bit of heat for this, but I think Tyler Harvey, to me, he's the NBL version of Steph Curry. You know, he's the quick shot, quick release. He'll shoot it from anywhere at any time, but then he can penetrate into the key. He's got that floater.
True.
Just in terms of a package, he's just got a bit of everything, and he's just like an atom bomb that could explode at any time. Is that exciting? Mm.
What I'll say about this game is it was reminiscent of the first time these guys played, where the Hawks kind of snuck over the line. I think they won by 6 or 8 the first time as well. I look at Brisbane, like, what is going on with this team that they just always seem to miss open shots? I thought they had really good shots. They went 6 of 32, 19% from the outside. And this is the same thing last year where we heard this all year with Glidden, where it's like, he's getting good shots, he's just not making them. He's getting good shots. And then we see this game where it happens again. I mean, Jason Kadee had 7 points, 22% from the field in 35 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
It's a make or miss league? Is that kind of what you say when you don't shoot well?
Yeah.
If they got to hit those shots. I guess the offense is if the offense is going to continue to create those 3-point shots, you've got to hit them. Otherwise, you say, look, maybe we're not that good a shooting team, and we change the offense. But I can't see Lamanis doing that. He's been running that same stuff for long enough now.
I think we both can agree. We like the look of Vic Law. He looks pretty good. I just I like the body on him. Like he's big and strong. He's really big and strong. He'll play well. I've got a question for you, and this is one going forward for Brisbane.
Yep.
What's going to happen when Hodgson returns? They have two bigs. Harry Frolling, who played, you know, okay, grabbed a lot of rebounds. No complaints.
Yeah, and I liked watching him go against his brother. That was a fun matchup to watch.
That was fun. And then Harrison seemed to get a lot of minutes. He was the one they kind of seemed to prefer. You know, what's going to happen when Harry Frolling, if he's the guy who misses out on minutes with Hodgson's return, how does that work? Are they going to play those two in tandem? That's something to watch going forward. But I kind of have a bit of a, you know, and if Frolling does get benched, is he going to kind of, you know, him and Drimmick are apparently quite friendly. Like, is that going to cause a bit of a rift there? And I mean, there's a reason why we haven't projected second bottom.
Yep.
And there's a reason for that. But I still look at them and go, they've lost to a good Hawks team by 6 or 8 points either time. You know, they're not bad. I have a serious question for you though. Hawks, 3-0. You picked them for top four, didn't you? You picked them fifth.
No, I had them fifth.
Do you regret that?
I'm starting to, yeah. They're looking really good. And seeing...
Go on.
I'd put them ahead of New Zealand now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, is there any way I can talk you off? I'm going to try and talk you out of the Hawks.
Okay.
First of all, like the first thing to know is, for me, nobody's sacred. Okay, whether you're Brian Gorgian or Gorgian Brian or someone in the street, it doesn't matter to me. I want to see what you want to do. I don't care what you did 10 years ago in the NBL. I love Brian Gorgian, great character, great coach, but you know, you're not winning game to game. Now, here's what I put up on the Twitter. I mean, they've beaten Brisbane twice, who most have predicted to be the second bottom team.
Yep.
And haven't beaten them by a huge amount, but a decent, you know, good wins for sure. And then they beat Cairns in quite a thumping, but Cairns are a team that we know just drop games. They just drop them. They dropped them last year to teams that were terrible, and now they've dropped one to, well, the exact same team in the Hawks, but you know, obviously different personnel. Here's my other thing that I want to say. They have two big-ticket recruits set to return, Dang Adell from injury and Cam Besto from injury. And this is where I'm going to be interested to see what Gorgian's got. You know, Gorgian, okay, Dang Adell comes back. They've got a really unselfish team right now. Balls to the wall, run hard, cut hard, screen for everyone. Best guy shoots it, or most open guy shoots it. Dang Adell has NBA aspirations, right? He's going to come back and he's going to look to show that I'm the best player on the team. Maybe I'm being unfair, but there may be a situation where he's coming back going, no, I'm going to assert myself. Does that work? How does Gorgian kind of work with that? And then Besto, he's on a one-year deal. He's been hurt badly. If he comes back, does he come back into the starting lineup? Do they look better with Ogilvy and Sam Frolling out there? So see where I cast any doubt in your mind that they're perhaps not top four?
No. Okay. I appreciate the effort, but no. I think they're Gorgian's going to work his magic. He'll be having little chats with players. You know, I got this. You got this. I got you. You know, together, we can do this together. That's my worst Gorgian impression. I'm sorry. Not very good at voices. But, you know, he'll put his arm around those players and he'll talk them through. He'll get them buying into what
he's
selling.
Here's my question anyway. How's he going to talk them through the Wildcats? And how's he going to talk them through defending Bryce Cotton? And how's he going to talk to them about, you know, going up against Melbourne? I still see a couple of holes in that roster where I'm like, okay, you know, they have to get pretty lucky.
It's a process, Joe. It's a process. We're going to take it game by game. We're not here for wins. We're here for growth and development.
Well, Jerry Colangelo trusted the process and led him down a Twitter garden path of fake accounts. But that's it. Anything to add on them or that game?
The one other thing I noticed with Brisbane, and you sort of pointed it a little bit, is that to me, Brisbane don't have a closer. Who do they go to at the end of a game when they need buckets?
I suppose it's going to have to be Vic Law, but
is he gonna create? You know, you can't give him the ball out at the top of the outside 3-point line at the top and say, you know, let's go 1-4 flat and you do something. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy. I just don't know where those crunch time points are going to come from.
And also, I mean, this season you get two imports. They're your trump cards. They're your most precious commodity. They're limited to two because of that reason. The jokers are wild, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And they've spent one well, Vic Law, not a problem. Yep. Card down, joker. But the second one, Orlando Johnson, you know?
Jury's out.
And it's just a positional fit. Like, imagine if they'd had Sykes.
they'd be better.
Yeah.
Drimmick in the lineup, point guard, just kind of just makes sense positionally. And I hate to talk point guard and positions, but I just feel like that would have been – anyway.
Yep. Anyway, watch
jumping on. Watch this space. Next one. This was a really interesting game, wasn't it? Adelaide at home to the New Zealand Breakers. When I mentioned this game, of which the 36ers won 94-91, when I say this game, Andrew, what's the first thing that comes into your head?
What a call to change the result of the game, or a non-call changing the result of the game.
Are you talking about the foul travel on Patterson?
Yeah, the Lamar Patterson move play. Yep. Thinking like, wow.
There was a lot of calls in this one, like the Ty Webster attack at the hole, at the bucket. There's a bunch of calls where you're like, whoa, geez.
Yep. So this
not,
is
not the decals?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I totally forgot.
This is the decal game.
This is the decal game. Sorry. Yes. I was tweeting about it. I think I vented so much on Twitter about the decals. Yeah. It's like ridiculous. I don't know what they're using.
Can I make
what
a distinction?
Plastic are they using?
Can I make a distinction here? Because we just watched Cairns, Melbourne, everybody was fine.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between, well, NBL decals have shown themselves over time to be a bit, you know, whatever.
Iffy.
But there was a huge difference between the NBL decals and Adelaide decals. They guys are taking tumbles in that stadium in particular.
Yep. Yep.
We just saw Cairns, Melbourne, nothing happened. Cairns, Sydney, nothing happened.
Yep.
Adelaide, New Zealand. And I remember even the first day we having a joke that the first play Crocker took a slip on one and like NBL decals undefeated. So my question is people go like, oh, NBL, you got to change this. NBL, you got to change this. Actually, maybe you need to make a knock on the door to the Adelaide 36ers and say, where have you sourced your from? Or you who's put them down?
You don't always go with the cheapest quote. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just a thought.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Like whatever supplier they've gone to.
Or also the weather in Adelaide at that time. I think it was unseasonably hot over there. Maybe the humidity.
It's an air-conditioned building, right?
Yeah, good point.
It shouldn't
good
make point. Any difference.
Talking about the play though, where'd you see it?
Yeah, so I've got to admit, towards the end of this game, right when I wanted to be really paying attention, I kind of wasn't because I was getting the kids ready to take them to the EPW wrestling tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Over here in Perth, if you want to get some local live wrestling, EPW. So I took the kids to that. So it was a little bit distracted towards the end.
I got you covered. I'll go through my notes and you kind of jump in where you like them. Colton Iverson, we said this in the preview. He's the 7-footer this league wasn't really crying out for. And you look at how successful Brandon Ashley was. And go and have a look on Real GM at his PER, and effective rating and all that sort of stuff. No one looking at New Zealand last year was thinking, geez, we really got to upgrade on Brandon Ashley and Hobson. You needed to teach him some foul discipline, but his production was good. But anyway,
let's trade out an athletic big for a slow lumbering big.
See it coming.
Yeah. He was out in the court and just looked lost. Like he just couldn't.
If Plumlee cannot be in the last 5 minutes of a game on for the Perth Wildcats, then no 7-footers being on the court.
No,
in the NBL, not going
to
happen.
It's just old fashioned. It's. I mean, it used to be that if you were 7 foot, you could walk onto a basketball court anywhere in the world. These days, it's almost a negative for being that big, isn't it?
Colton Iverson, 11 minutes and didn't do a lot in them, and we kind of saw that coming. But anywho, Lamar Patterson, man, he got killed by Sunday Dech.
He did.
He had 16 points, 38% from the field, 5 rebounds, 1 of 7 from the outside, 7 turnovers. Even if you take away the bad call or two, that's still way too many for him.
Yep.
I have a question for you, and this is going to get there's a group of people who are kind of taking the Lamar Patterson's not out of shape, and I just think that's so. This is not true. That's just sort of that's being contrarian, being opposite for opposite sake. Was he in shape or not? What do you think?
I always take a close look at Lamar because it's such a debate.
Same.
And to me, he does look a bit chubby, totally. And a bit of extra pudding around the moobs. You know, sort of, they seem to be popping out a bit. He didn't look like a guy who was ready to play 35 minutes of NBA.
Totally, and he got outworked by Dech. I mean, Dech was just hounding him, and Patterson just didn't have the endurance, especially in the fourth, to deal with it.
Yeah.
And this is what Lamar Patterson is, and this is what I actually quite like him for. A guy who comes in a little bit overweight, a little bit, hey, roll out the balls. Let's see what happens. He's like that biggish guy in a Hawaiian shirt. He's just fun. And he's great to watch, but that doesn't mean he's not unfit. and he is not. He's worse than he was coming in last year. And they've dropped this game. And, you know, it's a super quick schedule. I think they play in another day or two. You know, we had this concern coming in. And he left so many points on the rim. Like, because he doesn't finish explosively at the rim. So, and he did this last year where he'd drive at the hoop. And unless he gets a call, he's kind of having to hope that he gets a lucky roll. He can't finish strongly. He had that one double hand dunk that did not fill anybody with confidence. So I, and I heard people say, oh, don't worry, by round five, he'll be fine. By round five, this thing could be done. If they play, you know, by round five, New Zealand could have played, say, 7 or 8, 9 games maybe. I don't know what the schedule's going to look like. Especially if they go, Andrew.
No, I was going to say, especially if he's not ready and fit for that Melbourne tournament, like how many games are they going to play in that?
Oh, and rapid fire. You know, if they go, let's say they play 8 games between then and now and they go, you know, 2-6 or 3-5, that's a really tough hole to D out of. So, you know.
I mean, that's the situation New Zealand had last year. Same situation where they had to dig themselves out of a hole that they
didn't make
it. Glenn Rush Jr. helped dig. Yeah, they were. They couldn't do it. They just didn't have enough games left in hand.
I agree. We spoke about Donald Sloan before, tracking his minutes. He had a good game in this one, 20 points, real timely, poised scorer
off the bench.
Yeah, good point. My question is, we've been hard on him. A lot of people have. My question I have for you is he kind of being hamstrung by Connor Henry? Is that a team that's just not running a fluid offense and he's just lost in the – you know, he's just a boat in the storm. He can't, you know, and in this game, he finally got a chance to kind of exert his kind of play. Does that make sense, the question?
Yeah, it does. Possibly so. He certainly looked more aggressive in this game, didn't he? It looked like he was really, it's almost like he knew that if he didn't perform in this game, he was going to be on the next plane out. He really seemed to look more aggressive. And it was a ballsy shot towards the end of the game, wasn't it? To actually lock the scores away, I think it was.
Absolutely.
And almost, I thought, an ill-disciplined shot, if I remember correctly. It was like there's still a bit of time on the clock. I thought they could have worked it for a round. He wasn't particularly open, but he just went, nah, do or die. And he went for it.
I agree with all that.
So credit to him there.
I watched the Breakers and I look at them and I think they really missed the duality of Brandon Ashley and Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe, bigger body, pick and pop. Ashley, pick and roll guy. They just didn't have another dimension. And as a result, they just got outworked. Second chance points, 17-9. They didn't have a combination that worked against Humphreys. They didn't make Humphreys work at the other end particularly hard. You know, Patterson to play, you know, 30-some plus minutes and only grab 5 rebounds. It's just a measure of work rate. And that's not the worst rebound tally, but it's not the best either. You know, I think Sunday Dech played similar minutes and had sort of up towards 10. You know, it's just a matter of if you're on the court and working hard, you're going to grab more rebounds than that, especially offensive rebounds. He only had the one. And, you know, if Colton Iverson isn't working out, Patterson's going to have to be that bit more. And that's why they beat him on the boards. Foul free throws. Adelaide, 25 of 30. New Zealand, 10 of 16. Jeez. So Adelaide either got the favor of the whistle or were more aggressive.
Yeah,
bit of both, I think.
Bit of both, and I think this is probably going to be a story of the season with all these the lack of travel. It's going to be a lot of state league level referees stepping up to the NBL. Like I noticed in the Perth game coming, we're going to talk about the three referees I didn't really recognize, and it's like, oh, they must all be, you know, they're sort of SBL level dudes because they can't fly anybody around.
Of course.
So I think there's going to be some iffy calls this year just because we've got these inexperienced refs.
We saw the big – oh, you go, Andrew.
No, you just carry on.
Well, I was just saying, I think we've seen the beginning of what we were talking about in the preseason with this team, and this is why I had them not making the four is because a lot of games on the road. And when I say many, I mean all of them. And, you know, you're not as up for them because you don't have a home crowd. If they start – you know, slumping, the crowd's on you. I just think this is, you know, I'm shocked that people had them rated so highly looking at, you know, their full away schedule. I mean, this is a home league. The home team wins. Most sports are a home team league. I think 65% of the time they win in the NBA as well. So, yeah, this was a sign of that. Like, oh, every game is going to be really tough for the Breakers.
So this is the first time we saw the Breakers. Let me ask you a question. What did you think of Ty Wesley?
Ty Webster. Easy mistake to make. I think, I mean, he can score it. I don't think he was particularly looking for anyone else or any much else. You know, he looks to score. And again, like Hobson was that guy for them last year. But who's going to be the Sec Henry? You know, really capable outside shooter who's got poise. Is it Jared Weeks?
Maybe
can
that's
short in this one.
Well, probably meant to be Corey.
Well, Corey looks for his own bucket as well.
Mm.
So I'm kind of like, you know, I've got doubts about this team. I had doubts about them before they came through, but they're still quite good. But again, imports are your trump card, and one of them you spent on Colton Iverson.
Yeah, doesn't make sense, does it?
Didn't make sense. Didn't look good in that game. And not worse still, Shamir just didn't go to him. That's what worse. It's not like he got in the game and really played poorly. Like Shamir was like, nope,
and
not doing it.
If you can't have Iverson playing in a game that features Humphries and DJ, the two bigs, when is he going to be useful? I mean,
totally.
Maybe Brisbane against Hodgson. Like, I can't think of another team where you really need that.
Isaac Humphries is his perfect matchup, and he played 11 minutes, just over a quarter. And then another thing I'll say with New Zealand, I don't know if you've seen the latest COVID news in New Zealand. They've just had a test come through positive.
Right.
So the thought that they're going to play in New Zealand this year.
That doesn't sound good.
Highly unlikely. Anything else from this game? I'm happy to move on.
No, that's it for me.
Cairns, Sydney. Did you watch this one uninterrupted?
Yes.
I actually watched this one and then rewatched the second half because I thought it was quite a good one. I'll ask this, coming out of this game, and I know what we saw against Melbourne, but try and put that out of your mind.
Yep.
Are you worried about Cairns?
Yes.
And if so, why and what way?
Yes, I am. I am. They just don't seem to have enough weapons and enough stick-to-itness kind of in the defensive sets. You know, they just kind of seem to leak points. Maybe it's discipline, maybe it's ability. Maybe it's desire. They just seem to let too many easy points wash up on the scoreboard. And it's hard to win games when you're giving away easy points.
You're right when you say it's a good 10 points a game. 10 points, totally unavoidable. You know, basically what you'd call in tennis, like unforced errors.
Yep.
Here's why I'm not that worried about Cairns.
Okay.
And again, like with the Gorgon and Hawks thing, I'm going to try and talk you the other way.
Okay.
They've still got the arguably the best import duo.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of, and by a long way. Like it's Cotton, Mooney, Oliver, Machado, and then the gap is pretty big.
Yeah.
So still got those. And also Cam Oliver's unstoppable. He is just posting 20 and 10 every night. No one can stop him.
This is the game with the dunk of the year as well. Let's not forget.
Dunk of a lifetime. Fantastic against Molo. The other reason is Machado only played 22 minutes in this one, had the foul trouble.
Yep.
22 minutes, just over halfway. He normally plays an extra quarter on top of that. And then the third thing would be they're still long and can shoot. It's the same story as last season. You know, they've got guys who can't, they've got the talent to do it and they've got the shooting ability, and shooting does kind of covers up for a multitude of sins. And I, for that reason, I think they're still pretty good. If I talked you back into them at all?
A little bit. I think they just need all that shooting to come together. At the moment, they maybe have, you know, Kwot Noi having a hot 3 or 4 minutes, or
right.
Mirko Djerić gets going for a quarter. They just they haven't had that consistent production across a number of players for a whole game yet.
And in combination.
So we need
jumping forward a bit and looking at what they did to the team they rolled out against Melbourne. I don't know we're jumping ahead, but did that fill you with a little bit more confidence that, this lineup might work a little bit?
Yeah, I thought they looked improved against Melbourne. They certainly looked better. Machado still looked a little out of sorts. Like I didn't quite know where he's at. You know, like doing some good things, but he's not playing at the level that we got used to seeing him play last year. Almost in the intangibles. Just that court control.
Court control and
decision making.
He's still figuring out where he's. How much he has to do on this team with Newball gone.
Yep.
I think he's still working out like, okay, who can I rely on quarters 1 through 4? Who can I only require, you know, who can I rely on in the fourth? And that's why you saw later in the round, we'll talk about it. He kind of started to score a bit more. He realized what he had around him a bit better. But I want to talk about the Kings shifting on this one. Sydney at the 2 minute and 30 second mark of, I think, quarter four or three. I can't recall, but anyway, I think it was quarter four. Score was at 62-70. Casper Ware came out as the momentum was shifting in the midst of a 15-2 run. And this game gets back to within a point, 71-72. And then the Kings had to kind of dig themselves out of it. It's the same question with this Kings team. Like, why do they substitute the way they do? It's so bizarre. And they seem to be a holdover from Will Weaver. Did you notice that run by the...
Yeah. It seems to be a mathematical equation they run with substitutions, doesn't it?
Quite certain it is, but they do not, and they do not waver from it at all.
No, very very Moneyball-esque approach to the game.
But Moneyball, like, you want to improve, that's a theory that you improve your win percentage, not self sabotage. I don't want to say.
I don't know. They stick by it, and it's it like they're just gonna run with, you know, trust the formulas, trust the mathematics, it'll work out. I don't like it. I like, if players got it going, leave him on. If he's done something good, leave him on. I think you've got all the emotional side that doesn't. The numbers are created from the impacts of how people feel. So I think sometimes you don't want to forget that.
I picked this team, the Sydney Kings, I mean, to finish sixth. Okay. They're in this one, they kind of showed maybe they're a bit better than that. But here's my biggest problem with the Kings. The Kings are more self-destructive than a lemming. They have this, I'm going to put it out there, they're a little bit soft with injuries, like Didi and back soreness, and then Jarrell Martin's minutes restrictions. Like, what is the rationale here? And I'm not in their locker room. I'm not in their training team. I don't know what it is. But Martin, to me, looked like he was good to go. And at times he was sitting on the bench kind of upset, and he only played the sort of 20-some minutes.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. And Didi, we'll talk about this again, sitting out with a bad back at 21.
Yep.
I hate to be that guy who's like, get out there and play. But at the same time, it's like,
yeah,
you know, I'll just say availability is the best ability. Yeah.
And Jarrell Martin, when he was on the court, he was amazing. He was so good. He's one of the reasons I'm going to enjoy watching Sydney this year. I just like him. Like, I'd much rather watch him than Andrew Bogut, for instance.
For sure.
He's so much fun. He's just got all the skills. He's so smooth. Really good.
And they were worried about him being a rebounder. I don't have that worry at all.
No, it did strike me as a problem.
Speaking of which, rebounds, offensive, 16 to Cairns, 23 to Sydney.
Gee.
And that's because Nate Jawai didn't play enough. Kelly really, he really nutted out some substitutions over this round. He totally changed the starting lineup. He changed rotations. It was really interesting from him.
Yeah. And look, Brad Newley, I mean, I'm not sure how many offensive rebounds he got, but that guy's just ageless. He's just performing at such a high level. I thought we'd see a fade off from Brad Newley this year.
Nope, not yet.
But no,
off season.
Like at the moment, even if Didi was there, I'd be starting Brad Newley over Didi.
Totally. I don't like that Bruce Ware combination starting either. I like Sean Bruce, but I like him off the bench a bit better.
Yeah. I think he's a good spark plug.
Agreed.
Now they've got Vasiljevic as the shooting spark plug now.
Let me tell you about Vasiljevic. DJ Vasiljevic may have no neck, but he's got balls. big shots from him. I really like him.
Yep.
Just a gunner, just a Mirko Jeric with a little bit more of a game around him, I think.
Yep.
And a more dependable style. I really liked him.
But the most important question coming from this game, and I've got this question for you, okay?
Okay.
Jokor, are you on or are you off Casper's dick?
You know, I'd like to think I was on it before the season started. I think he was a really good player, and he showed that. Is he good enough to get him to fourth? Is his penis that far inside me that I think they're going to make it to fourth spot? No. Sorry, that's crass. I'll put the explicit on here. Sorry, everyone. But no, he's a good player. Is he a little bit inconsistent? Yeah, but he knows how to nut out wins. When he dove on the floor for that ball,
yep.
All my questions about is he over it? Is it not? Nah. I was like, if you're willing to do that, because there's players at that age who aren't. Yep. Mark Patterson on the floor like that against Adelaide. He is a guy who will look around and find out a way to win or come close, even if he's not shooting so great, which he hasn't been.
Look, that was hilarious. If you get a chance to watch the press conference when Adam Ford says that, and you just watch Jarrell Martin, who's sitting next to him, who seems to be this really polite guy. Like, you watch him,
he's got the southern,
thank you, sir, yes, sir. You know, really polite, really, you know, sort of nice guy, certainly on the camera. His face when Adam Ford said that, he was just like, you what?
I'll ask this question because you were down on Casper Ware. Are you on Casper Ware's member?
No, I'm not.
You thought this was an aberration?
I need to see more. Like, what I liked about it, and they talked about this in the telecast, is that he did let the game come to him. Sorry, right. About the double entendre there.
I just got that. That's what she said. No.
He waited. He didn't shoot early threes, and right. he got inside. He started to attack the rim. Started to feel good about himself. That's the way you come out of a slump. And look, he played well, but I want to see him play well week in, week out, like Bryce Cotton does. You know, and it's not too long ago that we were saying who's better, Bryce Cotton or Casper Ware. You know, and Bryce Cotton brings it every week.
Did you notice how that changed from like it was a conversation between the two? And then it changed to like, well, Casper Ware's the best two-way player in the league. You know?
Yeah.
Whenever you have to put something before it's like, oh, that wasn't very funny. Oh, it's a dark comedy. It's like, oh yeah, you're making excuses for yourself. Yeah, totally agree with that. But no, I think Casper, even if he's shooting poorly, is a bit of a winner in this league. I'll say as well, Angus Glover, probably touch on that. Hurt himself, didn't look good. His reaction looked really, really bad. Poor guy. Everyone knows the history. 22, bunch of knee reconstructions. Yep. Not healthy, not happy.
Yep.
I'll say this about that. They had Glover, Didi Luzada, and Kick It all out. And this might sound terrible, but I think if they don't, none of them return, this forces the Kings' hand to play a slimmer rotation, which is in their best interest. It saves them from themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
As terrible as that sounds to say that when a player's out, they're better, but it just means Adam Ford has to play a Casper Ware and Jarrell Martin more.
Yeah. Just a question on the that injury, the ACL. If we don't know yet if it's another ACL or not, do we?
We don't know yet, no.
But with Glover having that history of injuries, now, and I appreciate all the outpouring of sympathy and like it sucks, right? Not getting around that. But just the pure business of basketball, the Kings took a calculated gamble bringing him in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you knew a guy, he's obviously, I don't know, is there such a thing as, you know, do you have weak knees or something? You know, like he's obviously susceptible to it.
Like Brandon Roy in a way, remember him?
That's right.
Guy was amazing. He was training to be an absolute stud, all-star MVP candidate and then just broke down after about six years in the league.
That's right. So, I mean, this was a risk going in and they rolled the dice on it. So, you know, like they have to look at themselves and go, did we make the right call in our recruitment?
I mean, luckily they kind of stacked that spot. I mean, they've got Bruce Ware, Vasiljevic, and Didi Luzada. And if Didi's as good as they say is, then that's enough. You know, that should be enough.
Yeah.
And then Glover, as terrible as it kind of sounds, is what was sort of surplus to requirement a wee bit. He's a really good player. He's really explosive. I feel terrible about, you know, talking this way, but at the same time, it just means, all right, Casper Ware now plays 5 more minutes and Vasiljevic plays 3 more minutes.
Yeah.
And there's the 10 minutes that would have gone to Glover sort of sorted. So it's not the worst thing in the world for the team.
Yeah, yeah.
But speedy recovery to him.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody, you never want to see that sort of injury on a court. It's yuck. Yep.
Horrible. Anything else? Sorry, want to jump on?
Yep.
Perth, Southeast Melbourne, 88-76. Perth took this one. First look at John Mooney. First look at this new Wildcat team. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I was chagrined because I've been saying since they recruited him that John Mooney was going to be a bust and that he didn't bring enough to the table. He proved me wrong. He proved me wrong in the first quarter and first in the game, and he was pretty good. Now, in my defense, perhaps I could say nobody's had a chance to scout him. Maybe that will change as he plays a few games and they figure out what he's all about. But fair enough. At this point, I got it wrong. So I'll say that. But look, it's just the Wildcats still doing what they do, right? There was nothing different about what they did. They just had slightly different faces doing the play. You know, it was it was Todd Blanchfield instead of Tirico White, and it was Kevin White not doing much, but that was basically what Damian Martin did last year. So, you know, there's that.
True. they're true to form. Let me go back to Mooney.
Yeah.
Of the obvious good, 13 points, 15 rebounds, the chase down, like he just looked like he was hoovering everything off the glass, which is exactly what they wanted, what they needed. And I feel like as much as you say no one scouted him, I think it was pretty obvious that he was going to rebound really well.
Mm.
And when a team like the Wildcats, who value rebounding so much, I could see the marriage going really well. That's why I picked him second. I thought he was going to be good. I didn't worry about the outside shot. I didn't think that was going to happen because I've always thought that when Cotton gets his papers, they'll sign more of a scorer than a Plumlee. Everyone was just like, oh, when they get Plumlee, and I've sort of talked myself into that thinking as well, but no, I think when they get those papers, they'll get a second option. We'll talk about that in a second. But the obvious bad for Mooney, like if I want to talk you off the ledge with jumping on Mooney's dick a little too much, to use the phrase, this did come against Southeast Melbourne and what is now presenting itself as one of the weaker front lines in the NBL.
True.
Yeah. You know, Wetzel was young and got moved around. Ben Moore had fouls again.
Yeah.
You know, so 13 and 15 against that team. Okay, cool. But yeah, let's see you do it against Jock Landau. Let's see you do it against,
The
other teams.
Yeah.
Even Harry Froling and that, you know, good luck with that. Cotton. What I didn't like was a lot of people calling this team out of the four. I don't think there's any way they miss the four. I really don't. I've never seen that.
It's hard to say, no.
And the reason why is I think this is a holdover from the Lindsay Gaze school in Melbourne, which is where a lot of the sort of writing and video and podcasting stuff comes out of. The diminutive guards, smaller players, they've always had. Well, Lindsay Gaze was always like, oh, Brett Maher couldn't guard his position internationally. It's in Marvelous. I forget which page, but read into it. And I think that carries on to Cotton, where it's like, oh, nah, you know. And Lindsay Gaze had that thing. If you're tall, you got 3 years to prove it to me that you can play or whatever, or you can't play. And I feel it with Cotton. It's like, oh, small scoring point guard. We don't do that here in Australia. Basketball 101, the textbook, says that's bad. We want a point guard who's white with a college cut, his socks pulled up to his knees, and he's, you know, holding up three fingers calling out a play. I still feel there's a holdover, a bit of a hangover of that thinking.
Yeah.
And it works against Cotton. Because if you're looking at what's actually going on, he's the best in the league and the best it's ever been.
I say that with confidence. Yeah, I agree. He's one of a kind. He's incredible. He's an incredible worker. If you watch him run off the ball, he doesn't just score points, you know, because he's a good shooter. That he is. He scores points because he works so hard. He works the cuts. He play. You know. He attacks when he can attack. He just does
all game.
Yeah, he never stops. What a
moment. You never see Cotton in a play like with Patterson where Patterson was waiting for a whistle.
Yeah.
Cotton wouldn't do that.
No.
He'd be looking, oh, I should keep dribbling and go down the other end, just lay it up.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have that mindset. And I think that's what separates him.
And Cotton's, sorry, I was just blown away by, because they used him in a different way, I thought, this year, just a little bit. You know, the Wildcat system's still the same, but they were certainly letting him freelance a little more,
and he look at the highlights. Really three of the highlights paint. Him passing to people. Yeah,
it was really that sort of almost that Ricky Gray style of guard. You know, I'm going to attack the paint. If you don't come at me, I'm going to score it. If you do, I'm just going to dish it off for my big man. Sort of like the Grace to Paul Rogers plays. And his finishing is just elite. The angles he works on those layups to get it high off the backboard over a defender's arm. Just amazing.
Through and under and corkscrews around. Yeah.
He's ridiculous.
This guy's a freak. And you know, I heard like Boddy and I go back and forth on this where he's like, oh, best import. You know, you've never seen Rocky Smith, you know, who played for St Kilda, I want to say. And
yeah.
Leroy Loggins, and he's just seen a couple of his games and most of them were toward the end of his career. But it's a silly question to say who's the greatest import. Like they didn't play against each other. It's different times. However, my answer to this is always, not only is it a silly sort of debate, but also, you know, SNL, Saturday Night Live, the comedy show.
Yeah.
Your favorite cast is always the one you went through high school with. And they and guys who've been around the NBL for a long time would accuse me of that, going like, oh, Cotton's, you think Cotton's the best because he's playing now. What I'd say, like, you know, but those guys were your favorite because that's when you were, you know, in high school. That's when you're most, you soak in popular culture and sporting culture more.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways, but I still think Cotton's the best. Southeast Melbourne. I mean, let's turn the coin here. They didn't look good. They looked okay. Same thing. Glidden and Tarangi, what are we getting out of those guys? Yeah, yeah. Sykes had a bad game, didn't shoot well. But here's my biggest problem with them as well. We talked about that front line. They conceded 21 points to John Mooney in his first ever professional game.
Yep.
And Jervis had 8.
Oh, Jervis
mid-30s, two years out of the game and you give him 8 points.
It was amazing. Yeah.
What? And then you look at this, like talk about Wildcat basketball and just running into a brick wall. Listen to some of these stats. Southie's moment had 19 turnovers to Perth Wildcats 9. That's 10 more. Gave up 17 offensive rebounds, grabbed a piddly, you know, maybe 6 or 8 in return, maybe less. And then they conceded 48 points in the paint. So more than half of the Wildcat total came off layups and dunks.
Yep.
You're not going to win.
You're not going to win, no.
So the question then is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how grave are your worries about Southeast Melbourne? Do you have them anywhere near the top 6 or closer to second bottom?
No, I'm really worried now. I'm seeing, I'm like, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like at about a 7, 7.5. I'm really...
Yeah, that's quite high.
I'm really worried. I'm just not seeing... They've got no firepower. They were only in that game because they were relying on Adam Gibson. Now, you know, like, bless him, but you're not looking for Adam Gibson to be your main point scorer.
If you're looking for between 15 and 20 from him every game, newsflash, bit of trouble.
Yep. He's veteran leadership, you know, steady hand.
Sure. You know, timely buckets.
Yep.
But not quantity.
Nah.
Quality, yep. Not quantity from him at this point. And that's what I thought they're getting at. I mean, I had this team making the fourth spot, and my that scale is in the rearview mirror. It's 15, it's 20. I think that the only thing that I'm hanging on to is home teams win 60% of the time, and they have 9 extra home games or 8 or 9 extra home games.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's going to matter. I'm holding on to that with less and less tightly as time goes on.
Yeah,
not worried about this team.
I mean, look, to me, the final nail in the coffin of, like, I'm still angry at myself. I picked Glidden to be most improved, for God's sake. What was I thinking? He steps into Perth Arena. It's coming down towards the end of the game, and he clanks 2 free throws. Like, come on, mate.
It did not look good. With the fresh mohawk as well.
Fresh, yep, yep. That,
I can imagine the barrage of shit he would have got for that.
What is going on? I want to understand more about Cam Glidden as a man, because he's like, he's got the moustache, like the policeman moustache, and then he pulls out and he's got the tattoo with the Peter Pan Captain Hook, and then he's pulling that haircut out. I just don't understand who he is as a person. Like, what's his personality? I'm dead curious.
Because you figure it out.
He looks like enough. He's always looked like a straight man, but I'm thinking maybe he's not. I don't get, not straight as in sexuality, straight. I mean, straight is just like down the line, kind of.
Just, yep, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Going back to Perth, second scoring option for Perth. Who is it? And if it's, is it no one? Do they need someone else? What do you think?
They need someone else because at the moment it's sort of like, well, it's Todd Blanchfield, I guess, is probably your second option. And that does not fill me with confidence. They need, and those guys can't really get something off the bounce. You know, they quickly get out of control. Todd Blanchfield's got that funky kind of one-handed push shot.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that.
Bryce Cotton played 38 minutes. I don't want to run a whole season with him going 38 minutes a game. They need somebody else.
They do, and that's why we were saying before, I think when Bryce gets his papers, I don't think it's going to be Plumlee who they call.
Yeah.
I don't think, not only because he's not there, but also because I don't think that's going to be their priority at all. They want a guy who can shoot and score and play a little bit bigger. Vic Law, for example, would be the guy they're after.
Who's the guy that played for Southeast Melbourne last year that was with Perth and then got injured?
Yeah. Devendrick Walker.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody like that, if not him.
Good personal friend of Bryce Cotton, just by the by.
I think that wouldn't be a bad pickup. Like, he didn't light the world on fire with Southeast Melbourne. Ironically, the one game he played really well was in Perth.
I remember.
But yeah, I think that kind of guy, you could just come on and just shoot the ball.
I agree. Shoot the ball and then be a part of that. It's whether you go real kind of wing player. It's all about their starting, their final five, the Wildcats, right? So Norton, Cotton, Wagstaff, Mooney, and then it's like, is Blanchfield that guy or do you upgrade at that spot? That'll be really interesting to watch what Perth do in that respect. Anything else from this game?
No, that's all.
Cool. Oh, Travers started just quite.
Oh, yeah. You know,
he was timid. He was scared. Okay, a couple of good players, but he'll settle a bit.
They talk about him with the NBA potential, and I don't know. I think that's a bit early to call for mine. He looks good, but he still just looks so small, and you know, he's 6'9" or whatever they're saying, but he's scrawny as anything. So
and that haircut doesn't help. This is what I'd say to real legitimate NBA prospects. You got to have good. You got to look the part, you know. And that hair is just not going to do it. Happy to move on.
Yep.
Cairns, Melbourne, 85, 87. We were lucky enough to join the press conference of this one.
Yeah, this was the NBL podcast Twitch game.
And Twitch game, yeah. We had Dan Ewing come aboard. We had Adam Ryan come aboard. Nick Tan come aboard. A lot of fun.
If you want to be one of the cool kids, you just got to watch, join in the Twitch stream and get on the chat and talk to us. It's good fun.
What do you think of this one? Because it just happened. We're recording this about an hour or two after the game's finished.
Yeah, look, Cairns were playing catch up the entire time. They were putting the back foot straight away with two early fouls to Cam Oliver, mm-hmm. which really upset their rotations throughout the first three quarters probably. But it felt like Cairns were improving on what we'd seen earlier from them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
But yeah, they're just still they're still pushing uphill. Nothing seems to be coming too easily for them at the moment.
I mean, I look at them and I go, okay, they needed extra defense from those first couple of games of the round. That was obvious in round one. Well, Mike Kelly did the obvious thing, you know, Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is the one that needs the least thinking about. He played Jared Kenny and Fabian Krizlovic more minutes.
Yep.
Over the likes of, Mujuk Deng and I don't really know whose minutes Kenny absorbed, but
yep.
You know, he played more defensive-minded players more, and they played better defense, and as a result, they played a lot better. They lost by two, and as you said, the bad run of luck with the fouls, and then just didn't have a great shooting game, not a bad shooting game.
Mm.
They were always playing that catch-up, and that just puts pressure on your offense when you're like, oh, we're down seven. I got to make something happen quick. And we saw that with Machado where he looked up at the score, saw that we're down eight or seven or five and thought, I need a big bucket to turn the momentum. I need a big bucket to shred into this lead. And of course, some shots that just weren't there and Melbourne got. But, yeah, still we saw it where this Melbourne team capitalized on Kansas, lapses. Particularly transition defense, the amount of times Melbourne just got a dunk. Yuta Barber in particular, Landale and Jack White as well. Those three guys were just killing them in the open court. A little bit of Shaley too. And, inexcusable from the Taipans.
Yeah, if there's a stat for just cheap baskets, you know, Melbourne would have been way out in front. I mean, they started off the game on fire. Like they couldn't miss from 3-point. I think they were 8 of 9 or something for threes at one point, 88% or something like that. They cooled off eventually, finished at 40% as you would expect. But yeah, that was a really blitzing start that just put Cairns on the back foot. And like you said, Machado was that. It's getting late.
It is getting late, yeah.
He just didn't really get the run of the game, right down to even the last shot where they, they're two down. He had 4 seconds and he decided to launch the three for the win. Now, you know, I guess you don't want to play an extra 5 minutes. I think it was just interesting that he went that option rather than at least trying to attack the rim, force them to play some defense.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think Cairns is just... if you scaled this game back and you go, they lost by 2 points to a team that's been talking about going undefeated, both self-proclamation, but talking about going undefeated, they lost by 2 points when they played atrocious defense at points, didn't shoot particularly great. Melbourne shot the piss out of it, and Cam Oliver had 2 fouls in the first 2 minutes. When you break it down to that, you're like, okay, not bad.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's still not a win. It's still the same defensive lapses we've seen now for what? Three games? Are they 1-3?
One and three, yep.
You know, so at one point it's like, well, you know what the problem is, but can you fix it?
Yeah.
And I think they actually went a long way to fixing it. So my stock in them just went a little bit higher. I'm not as worried. I knew they were always going to drop games they weren't supposed to. And then they'll go to Perth and beat Perth. You know, they'll do something crazy like that. Games that just absolutely shouldn't get them.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is a legit worry for Melbourne is Scotty Hobson. 9 points, 4 of 14, hasn't scored in double digits yet this season. We commentated the game. We barely saw him.
Yep.
Had 5 points early too in the sort of hot streak they had. But then when they were actually trying to grind out and manufacture points when Cairns actually, you know, screwed their head on, he was nowhere.
Yeah, I was saying during the game that, you know, New Zealand Scotty Hobson seemed to have a lot more time with him holding the ball and making decisions and making plays, you know, from top of the court. This one, he seems to be having to run off some screens, sort of get dribble handoffs. You know, it just doesn't seem to be the same structure that works for him. So is this a Melbourne curse where every import that plays well in a previous club goes to Melbourne and kind of struggles?
Or do they just not realize what they have in the imports? Do they have too much depth? This is a really deep team, and as a result, minutes are very, very thin to go around. It's a very watery broth, if you know what I mean. And I think that he's kind of struggling a little bit in that, and they need to milk out everything they can from him and perhaps the second import they bring in. Bit of a worry. Chris Golding. Yes. So earlier in the week, Chris Anstey put out a tweet that said, "We've seen all the 9 teams. Who's overrated?" And there was a lot of replies, and I'll get – actually before we hear my reply, what would be your reply to that question?
I would say that he is probably overrated, yeah. I think so. He's put up as one of the pinup boys of the league. And he's a fine player, don't get me wrong.
Good
player. Very good. I'd be happy to have him on my team. But, well, actually, no, I wouldn't. But that's another story. You know what I mean. But, no, he's a good player, but he's not – a super duper star.
No. You know? And I said that because a lot of guys are throwing around like Keanu Pinder, and I haven't seen Keanu Pinder on many posters for the NBL.
Yeah.
So I don't, as much as he's, you know, struggling a little bit coming in, but yeah, he wasn't the first guy they signed. He wasn't huge tickets. It wasn't like give the ball to Keanu Pinder and get out of the way. So he was relatively rated pretty fairly. Cam Glidden was one who came up. I think there's certainly a case going on there. But again, all the talk coming in from him this year wasn't, look out, Cam Glidden, he's going to light a fire under your ass. No, most of the talk with him was, I think he can turn around his career.
Yeah.
that's not rating someone. So my answer was Chris Golding in this thing. And got a bit of heat for it. I knew I would. That's okay.
Yep.
But, you know, the question was overrated. What is his rating? What does he actually play at? And I just basically said, you know, listen, this is a guy's considered face of the league. When he re-signed for 3 years, it was like, oh, this was a must. This was a must do. And I'm like, well, is it? He hasn't been an NBL second teamer since 05, 15-16.
Yep.
This game, 9 points in the first quarter, looked great. I had the whole – it was the Twitter army was mobilizing, and I was worried, okay? Twitter, you know, it's not a great feeling. And then 9 points in the first, 8 points, quarters 2 through 4.
Yep.
Splashy, fun player. Yeah. Really, when he makes a bucket, it's worth double.
Yep.
I get all that.
Yep.
Production through the whole game. Did he score when times were tight for Melbourne? I don't recall.
Yep. This is, I mean, you're right. And I love the way you put that. His points, he scores in a stylish fashion. There's something about the way he shoots the ball. It just feels like a dagger when they go through this. They do feel, his shots do feel more valuable than, say, Scott Machado's 3 points. But he's nowhere near the player he was. Do you remember he scored 50?
Oh, yeah, Melbourne Tigers, right?
And he was, yeah, he was like, I think it was in Sydney. And he was like, he was shooting the ball. He was attacking the rim. Like, he was getting points wherever he wanted them. Nowadays, he's not that player. He's a spot up 3-point shooter. Well, maybe not quite spot up. Look at his, okay, I'll just read out his stat line, right? 28 minutes, 17 points at 50%, one free throw, two rebounds, zero assists, 2 turnovers, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 2 fouls. Like,
an adequate stat line. But if you read that out and said, oh, Cam Glidden scored that, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yep.
Good night for Cam Glidden.
Yep. Right? That's what we've been looking
for.
Chris
Golding. Yeah. Yeah. It's Chris Golding we're talking about here. This is, you know, big money, talked about as being one of the best locals in the NBL. And as we said, fine player. But yeah, Hobson for this one. What are they going to do about him? How do they get him going? I don't know what combination works. You know, McCarron's stat line was pretty bare tonight. 3 points, a couple of rebounds. Like, he's obviously, I hate it when he takes a backseat in games.
Yep.
He takes a huge backseat in games and just sort of sits back in defense and prides himself on that and doesn't go for his own look, which I think is a mistake. I'm not as convinced about Melbourne as other people. I think they're really good.
Yeah.
I think they're good. Landau was really good. Like, he works really hard and is fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I'm still kind of... What do you think of the press conference afterwards?
Oh, just before we go to the press conference, I just want to point out my my favorite stat of the game is I think I saw Joe Lualuchul pass the ball once. And that's not assists, that is pass. Pass the ball.
Take possession of the ball and then get rid of possession, not in a shot.
Yep.
Yeah, he likes to shoot it.
He's a fan of the shot.
He likes to shoot it a lot, and it comes off most of the time.
Look, he still put up a pretty good line. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
7 points was on 3 of 11. 11 boards, though. And he was active. In just the eye test, you know, he was pretty active when he was on the court. Mm. But it's becoming a running joke. Does he ever pass the ball?
Who went up higher in your estimation? And that was a question I posed to Vickerman. But who went up higher in your estimation? Did Cairns go up higher, or did Melbourne go up higher in your estimation after this game?
Cairns certainly did. The fact that they ran with this team, they showed a lot of improvement. As you said, so many question marks about Melbourne still, and I worry that over the course of a long season, will there start to become a bit of fractures? You know, there's only one basketball, and there's about 8 guys on this team that want some action. And
sure, Landale wants. I think Landale's pretty unselfish, and he's been paid well enough.
Yep.
But Hobson, I'm like, he's under 1 year deal. He's in his early 30s, or 32. It's a tough place to be at. Like, I'm looking to get a long-term deal that sees me through to retirement at 35.
Yep.
Is he going to be content scoring 9 points?
Yeah.
He's made his reputation as a scorer and a playmaker, and now it's just not that. So, yeah, a bit interesting. Who have you got a big question mark over, Scotty Hobson or Lamar Patterson?
They need to swap teams.
Isn't that bizarre? Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Look, I've got a question mark.
I want to know why this change was made. I'd love to speak to New Zealand and say, was Hobson asking too much? Did you put out a thing too little? Did you genuinely want to change? Because I think if you'd gone up with the second year of Scotty Hobson, it would have been better for them.
Yeah, I think so too. So look, I don't really have an answer to that question. I'm watching them both with interest. I think we both know what they can do. They're both great players when they get going. So neither of them have done so yet. So jury's out.
With Patterson, though, a lot of people, you know, like, oh, when he gets to round 5, and I was saying how by round 5 they could lose a lot of games, but also like just the moral question of it.
Yep.
If I came into work and said, hey, everyone, listen, I'm not really good to go, but give me 5 hours after lunch, I'll be great. All right. If you need me, I'll be in the cafeteria. What? You don't get to do that. But Patterson, it's like, love the guy, love his game. And I love that storyline of like, hey, yeah, I had a bit to eat over the offseason. What are you going to do? I don't have a problem with that. But when you're talking about, if you're legitimate about him being the second best player in the NBL or even the best or top 5, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not right. Yeah. And I don't like the excuse making in that way. Not right.
Hey, Joe, we've been talking for an hour already. Even if people are listening to us at 1.5 times, that's 45 minutes of their time.
Yeah, that's as much as we carry ourselves with an ego that people should listen to us. We're going to get out of here.
Yeah.
Press conferences, they were fun. You enjoy these ones around?
It's fantastic to be a part of it. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Yeah,
NBL top work. Thank you. I hope, you know, we're trying really hard to be professional about these things, being respectful.
Yep.
But also realizing that it's an entertainment product as well. And we're trying to toe that line.
Andrew couldn't put it any better. Let's let the people go. Have fun, everyone.
Bye.